This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am Bob Hassan with my good friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, how are you today?
I'm so good. And I'm always excited to talk with you, to our guests, and about the things we get to talk about ourselves. And today on the show, we're going to start with real topics with you and me. We're going to talk about leaving the familiar for your God dream in your career. This seems to be something everyone's talking about, Bob, with coaching, where it's like, pursue your dreams, but it seems so hard to accomplish. So we're going to talk about it. And we also have a guest named Micah Race, who did just that. She left waitressing and cleaning houses to start her own cleaning career. And about 27 years later, it's become an empire, and she started two other businesses as well. So we have some really good content today.
I know. I can't wait to hear her story. But you want to start with some listener feedback? What do you think?
I love listener feedback. Yeah. Let's do it.
Weatherbees on YouTube wrote, awesome advice. Woohoo! Excellent interviews. Thank you to our listeners. You know, make sure you leave comments, questions, interact with us on YouTube or at bowlsministries.com. When you go to our socials, you can find Sean on Instagram and me on Instagram. We love to interact with our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, one of the things I love about this, Bob, is that it helps us to know people are with us in the journey. So we get all kinds of subscribers and we get people follow us on social media or follow us on YouTube. But the moment you stop just following, you start interacting is the moment we know that you're with us, that we're doing something that's important and relevant to you. So make sure to interact, leave a review or talk to us there. But we have a really good topic today. We're seeing more and more transition, Bob, in people's careers in the past season, post-COVID, than ever before. They're calling it the great upset for careers. And in Christianity, it's about, you know, this conversation about what we do with what we're called to in our career. And many people are taking huge leaps of faith to start a business or a side hustle based on what they're wired for, not just the norm of what they might be good at. And in the year that Forbes reported was the worst time to start a new business, I know we've been connected to people who are trying and operating on a faith operating system to start businesses. How do you know when it's time to jump, though, from stability to something that feels like it's what God's will is, but it takes so much risk? Bob, you're a risk manager. You got to help us out here.
Well, I wrote about this in my book, Shortcuts, Sean, and you and I talked about it in Wired to Hear. And one of the things that I love is the dreams that God gives us and the vision that God gives us. What I've noticed, you know, in my over 45 years in business and, you know, in the church is people seem to sometimes when they get a dream, they think it's all or nothing. And they have their 9-to-5 job and they have this dream and they think, okay, it's time to quit the 9-to-5 job and pursue the dream.
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, you should keep your 9-to-5 and you should work on pursuing your dream. And we've talked about this ad nauseum over the years, Sean, where even at your old church in Expressions 58, they had a business incubator group where if you have an idea, you bring it and present it to them. And this incubator group will ask really good questions so that, you know, hopefully you don't quit the 9-to-5 job and pursue the dream without a plan. And so as a risk manager, one of the things that, you know, I like to say is just always continue seeking the Lord in these things, but put your pen to paper and put a plan together before you move into the dream. And I think right now, yeah, maybe Forbes and the Wall Street Journal are reporting this is a bad time to start a business, but if God's in it, this is a great time to start a business. What do you think?
I think what you're saying is so important. I think, you know, it's just hard because everybody has their own journey and like what they think they've heard God in and how much equity they have in that, meaning like if you've heard God about other things, it's happened already. And you have faith for this. And so it may feel stupid to other people, but it feels really strong to you. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But I had a mentor years ago who said, but we also walk by wisdom, not stupidity. And so there's this thing of like, how do we measure? And we have to personally have the authority in our lives to do this on our own with the counsel of good advisors, with friendship, with people who know us, with especially our spouses. And I think, you know, I look at it and go, there's going to be some dumb things that you do in your lifetime that don't always pay off. and you need to be able to take the risk. But what you're saying, I love, is that you're doing it on the side, or you're doing it alongside something that has some long-term fruit to it for your life. It has, you know, it, your normal life, household economy is covered. I think that's important. I think there's people who go on Shark Tank, I watch all the time, who are like, I've given up everything for this. And they're tanking already. And they're on Shark Tank trying to get money and exposure. And the sharks know it right away. They're like, nope, I don't want to be involved with this, because it just feels like you couldn't get it off the ground. You've quit everything. This isn't really working. It's not, why is it going to work if we get involved with it? We want to add ourselves to something that's already multiplying, already has strength to it. And I feel in some ways God is like, build something that has strength to it so you can multiply it. Don't build something in your weakness that's crashing and then ask me to rescue you from it, but do it with wisdom.
Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
The reason that this passage reassures me is that you're asking God into it.
Yeah.
And we do need to be strong and courageous, because the things of this life in this world are hard, and we need courage. We also need the courage to be able to hear our mentors and advisors say, hey, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
And that takes courage also when we've become married to our dream, or whatever the transition thing we're doing is. And yeah, Sean, like you were saying on Shark Tank, it's played out right on the TV when somebody's taken a leap, maybe without planning. And then their last gasp effort is that these sharks in the chair would help them. And we don't want to be there. We want to be trusting in the Lord, leaning not into our own understanding, acknowledging him all our ways and letting him direct our paths. That's the place we want to be in if we think that we're moving in towards a transition.
Well, it's so funny because both you and I encourage people all the time to take big risks, but I love that we're also saying it conditioned with wisdom, conditioned with relationship. And that's one of the big problems, is that people who get into, especially entrepreneurship, oftentimes feel alone. They oftentimes feel undersupported, underserved. Like, they'll share their dream with other people and may not be the right crowd to share with, because other people will be like, there's already something like that, or that doesn't make sense, or you can never do that. And they get a lot of negative. So then they become self-protective. So one of our goals is to keep your heart the most open you can in the midst of the battle of doing life, to doing this very real life. And then doing things like taking those steps of risk still, but doing immeasurable steps where it's like God will be immeasurable back as you take a measurable step forward. And I think that that's a really important part of all this. Well, we have a question of the week, Bob. This is a good one. This is from Delania de Jesus. And she asked, she said, thank you for the opportunity to ask the question. She said, what do you look for when you're looking for a business partner as a Christian? And I think this is one we get quite often, because people are wondering, can I have an unsaved business partner? And I know it depends on what genre, what industry, whatever it is. But sometimes a business partner could be a banker. Sometimes a business partner could be an actual business plan partner. Sometimes it could be, you know, a contract you're getting. So it's different. But what would you say generically or generally to this?
Well, generically, this is what I would say. When I was 18, for whatever reason, the Lord showed me that he wanted to be my business partner. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I ended up being in partnership with God. And when I did that, I did not realize the ramifications that it would have, because I ended up asking the Lord all the time. And I know that's not what this question is. They're asking for a physical business partner. But the first thing that I would say is, make sure the Lord is your business partner.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're asking him for all the advice that you need in your business, and then that you would be asking him to direct your paths to a business partner if you feel like that's what you need.
Well, I think everybody wants a kind of like an investor or somebody who's ahead of them. Some people I call it the sugar daddy syndrome. It's like, we want somebody who will just kind of give to us because we're working so hard. Because anybody who's looking for business partners working really hard most of the time. And so I think like, you're looking for somebody who's already worked harder than you or has something to offer, you know, that you don't have, right? You're looking for somebody who's the other side of things. And in that those relationships can get so side railed or derailed, or they can become so codependent or so imbalanced if you don't find the right people. And sometimes you find the right person for a certain amount of time, and then it's time to buy them out or do whatever else. And I've watched those transitions be as hard as marriages and divorces.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. So I think it's like a really precious question that you're entrusting us with. And both Bob and I are saying, really listen to wisdom, listen to God, listen to your heart, spend some time, get to know the business person as much as you can. Don't do the fast jumps. The fast jumps seem to like be the most detrimental to people's future businesses. And I've watched people who need venture capital raises and they jumped in with somebody who had $100 million but didn't have the same vision or values. They didn't figure it out for 2 years and then their whole business tanked. And it could have been something that if they just waited for three more months of just getting to know them, they could have found the right, you know, the right partnership. I've seen that kind of thing happen regularly. And so I think it's just a matter of really, again, what you're saying, I love that. Just trusting God, being in the journey with God. And it's a great question.
I think also, Sean, just to finish this up, if you're going to go into partnership, make sure that you have good attorneys and you have a really good partnership agreement drawn up with very clear exit plan strategies within the agreement. And the reason I say that is because both Sean, you and I have been with people who are trying to exit really ugly partnerships that that if they'd had a clear agreement would have made it a lot easier. Well, it's time for our main course, Sean, and we have an incredible guest on the show today. Tell us about her.
Well, we have Micah Race, who came from a background where she didn't even graduate high school, which is so amazing. She now has her GED, but she went from that into being a waitress who started a house cleaning company that became a multi-million dollar company. She was the first millionaire in her family line. And she did that because of hearing God's voice. And then she started two other businesses as well, where she's coaching and giving people really a passion, a purpose. Well, in the midst of that, she's written a book about her crazy journey, her life story. But she has a legacy business now where her children are working in their company, their family company. And it's gone into a place of real blessing for all of them. Before we get there, we do have a sponsor, Bob, and their name is Birch Gold. And Birch Gold helps you to diversify some of your 401k or your Roth IRA into, and I don't know if you've heard this, Bob, or if you do this, but it helps you to diversify into gold or other commodities. And gold is an all-time high we know right now. So taking a small percentage of your retirement and making sure it's diversified by using a service like Birch Gold could really help sustain you in the future. You can go to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. And if you go there, you're going to find an incredible free guide that helps you to understand how to do this. And they give it to you for free, whether you use their service or not, but it gives you the courage and the understanding of what the gold market and other commodity markets are, and it'll help you. And this also goes to support the show, Bob, because when people sign up there and they actually go through with the process, we actually get a portion of that paid to the show to make this nonprofit ministry, Bowles Ministries, work to make incredible media just like this. Go to Birch Gold today, and we hope that they will be a blessing to you. Well, I know our guest is going to be an incredible blessing. Here we have Micah.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on pray.com and podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. We're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Micah Race. Welcome to the show, Micah.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love your journey, your story. I got to read a little bit of it beforehand. I know you have a new book coming out too, or that's out, about your story. But I love that you went from, and I want to take us back here. You went from feeling a prompting or a whisper of God when you were a waitress and with your husband to start a business. And that's huge because you didn't feel like you had the background to start it. And you did. And that turned into a full-fledged, incredible empire of a career. Plus, you're coaching other people and helping other people to launch. So take us back there. Like, what was that like early in your life to say, I'm going to take this big faith risk and this jump? Because not many people do it, especially when you don't have the background knowledge for it.
Absolutely. So we have to go back to my beginning. And I always say it's my humble beginnings. So I was 23 years old before I ever heard of salvation. I didn't even know what it meant. I was not raised in a Christian home or anything like that. And when I gave my life to the Lord, I was 23 years old and I was a waitress. I had been there for 5 years. It was a high-end restaurant. You know, I was a pillar there. But something beautiful happened. After I got saved, God just started convicting me, even though I didn't even know what conviction felt like. You know, I didn't know any religion. I didn't know anything about conviction, but something just started pressing on my heart. And I kept telling my husband, I think God's calling me out of here. And he would say, you know, Micah, you can't, we need the money. You cannot leave the, you know, I make good money. And one night it was, I always say it was the ram in the thicket for me. And I had been regulars. I had been waiting on them for the past 5 years. And she asked me a question. She said, would you ever be interested in cleaning on the side? And without hesitation, I said, yes. Yes, I can clean. And that night I went and turned in my 2 weeks notice. And I went home and I told my husband, and he laughs to this day. I said, you know, he said, I hope you know what you're doing. And I was, by that time I was 24 and I was crying and I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know enough to know that God is calling me out of here.
Wow.
And I'm going. And so that was the birth of my cleaning business. And that woman just so happened to be connected to everybody. And we like to say it's where I'm at. It's like the little Beverly Hills. It's a little city in it's called Oakwood, Ohio. And she just knew everybody. And that was the birth of that cleaning business, which gone on, it has gone on to make millions. And I'm not exaggerating. It's gone on to make millions in revenue. And just has been a blessing to our family, just wow. A blessing.
So Micah, I know that you're doing lots and lots of other things besides that, including coaching and speaking, but is that business still part of what you're doing along with other businesses?
It is. So that first business is still alive, thriving. It runs by itself. You know, as a young girl, I never dreamed that, you know, one day I would have employees and have an office and, you know, the business wouldn't be hinged on me or anything like that. You know, you can't envision that. Yeah. I was just, you know, in the grind of it, in the hustle of it. Mm-hmm. But here we are, you know, 27 years later. And it's still alive and well, and it is the reason why I became the first generation millionaire in my family.
Wow!
Because of that business, I get emotional. Just
I love that there is. You use the word conviction because a lot of times when people hear conviction, they think of it as just a conviction of sin, which is important. But you use the word conviction as like the Holy Spirit prompted you to do something that was outside your wheelhouse. Like you share the story in your book where you left home at 14. You didn't. Yes. You didn't graduate. I believe high school. And so you were to all of a sudden say, I'm going to go and start a business. And it's one thing to clean houses. It's another thing to hire other people to help you clean houses and then keep hiring and keep the business going, looking at profit and loss statements, starting to build the bigger picture. That's a huge thing. Talk about like, as you were scaling up, where were the challenges where you had to like rely on God, where it was like, God, is this real? Like, am I really supposed to do this? Like, am I the person for this? Like, talk about those scale up moments. Cause I feel like a lot of people get tripped up when they follow God in the dream. And then all of a sudden they feel disqualified again, or they feel like they're an imposter again in the dream because they don't have certain skills or they don't have certain abilities yet. And yet then there's God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked me. So there did come this pivotal moment, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was driving down the highway and I was crying, and I was, you know, just in the thick of it, right? Because I knew I heard the voice of the Lord, even though I didn't know what that was really. But here it was, you know, I was still struggling. And I remember turning on the radio. That was back then when you turned the radio on, you didn't listen to Apple Play. And a voice like thunder came out of the speakers, and it was T.D. Jakes. Oh, wow. And this is all I remember of the message. When broke people get tired of being broke, they do something about it. And I'm telling you, that day, there was this fire that ignited in me. And I told the Lord that day in my car, I said, God, if you partner with me, I will make you my business partner. I will partner with you. I will not make a move without asking you. I will not take one single solitary step unless I consult my business partner. And so that day, I literally made him my business partner. And so that's the things I teach today, that God can be your business partner. And you don't make a move unless you have the peace about it. And you consult him on every single thing. And I told him that day, I said, God, there'll be room for one spotlight, and that's yours. And I will give you all the glory in everything I do in my life. And so that was, I mean, I've probably by that time, I was probably about 26 years old, 27, somewhere around there. And so that day, man, I'm telling you, there was a fire.
I think, Micah, the thing that I love what you're saying is, I have a similar story. When I was 18, I started a painting business, and here I am, 45 or 6 years later, still doing the same thing. Went from infancy to a mature company.
Yes.
And when I was young, I had the same sort of experience you did about partnering with God. And over the years in my career, I've heard people talk about God being their CEO, or God being, you know, in the driver's seat with them. And I think the point that you're making about him being your partner is huge, because that's what he wants to be.
Amen.
He wants us to be in partnership with him in every other area of our life. So why not business?
Amen.
Could you talk to our viewers and listeners about sort of what that partnership looks like in your life? Because I've had people over the years say, you know, hey, you need to go into your prayer closet at, you know, 4 a.m. and don't come out until you hear the Lord. Well, I'm a type A personality. My business starts early in the morning, and there ain't no way I'm going to be in a prayer closet. And so what happened with me is this partnership with God became sort of like a daily routine, an hourly routine. And I'd like to hear how that routine with you is.
Absolutely. And you're right. I'm a type A as well. And getting up at 4 a.m., that's not going to probably happen. I mean, God would literally have to say, you're going to get up right now and get in your prayer closet, which I call my threshing floor. Okay. But absolutely. So it's just every day, it's building that relationship. And I believe, you know, back then, I look back at the history that I have with God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's building that history. It's stepping out on faith, on the first business, and then the second business, and then the third business, because I have three businesses now. And it's going back of when I stepped out on faith. I didn't even know what faith. Right. You know, faith feels like risk, right?
Yeah.
And we just build, you know, day after day, you build history. Right. And then on those hard days, when, you know, the enemy's saying, well, look at you now, I thought you heard God. Well, that's the day you have to remember your history. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. I've got history with him. And he didn't leave me then, and he's not going to leave me now. Mm-hmm. Just give me one more day. And so I always have to remind the enemy that. Give me one more day. Just give me one more day, because I promise you, God's going to show up. And so it's just remembering. That's what it is for me. And I would highly advise that for anyone that's listening, that when you have history and you build history by stepping out on faith, you got to take the risk at times. You've just got to do it.
It's so good. I think in our generation, people so run past their history and they forget about yesterday. They forget about the problems of yesterday and how God solved them and helped them. And I love the Bible. It's always calling us back to look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So not just ourselves, but everybody else who has history with God. And I love that you're 27 years in your career into it with that history of God, let alone your life. And I just think it's how beautiful. I'm going to ask you a question about your family, because your husband at the beginning was going, I don't know if you can work, you know, if you could do this, if you could pull out. And then you guys, obviously, it sounds like you have kids. So tell us about the family dynamic of how this impacted his life, your kids' lives, like the whole thing. Like, tell us the family story. Give us an inside glimpse.
Yeah. So I have two adult children, which you just saw my son. So my son's 35 and my daughter's 31. And that, because that business, so they work for the family business. So it has given them so much freedom in their life to pursue, you know, their passions. My son's a videographer. So because of that small cleaning business in the beginning, it has now sustained not only my household, my son's household, my daughter's household, and it got, my husband got to retire at 50.
Yes.
Now, yes, he got to retire at 50. Now, granted, he did work for 30 years and he got his pension, but he didn't have to go, you know, and get, you know, a part-time job somewhere.
Yeah.
Because of the family business, that cleaning job that he said, I hope you know what you're doing. He got to retire at 50 and he's 57 now. So he got to retire in peace. And not have to worry and stress and, you know, those kind of things. And it has afforded us to be able to travel and, you know, start the other businesses. We have a real estate business and I have a coaching business. And because of that, just that one leap of faith that felt so big and so scary for a 24-year-old girl.
Well, Micah, I know, because I've been through it, about the ups and downs in business and the ups and downs with God and waiting for a breakthrough. So help us to understand some of the times of despair that you might have had when you thought, God, did I really hear you? Or are you still with me? Or are you calling me out? That ended up giving you more faith in what you're doing. But in the midst of the struggle, you were like, when is my breakthrough going to come through?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I would have to say it was probably that pivotal moment, you know, back when I was, you know, I turned the radio on in TJ Jakes, because I think that was the struggle. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, between then and then when I launched my second business, because I didn't launch my second business till I was 44, almost 45 years old. And so, I mean, there was a lot of living in that space of time, but, and getting where God was taking me at 44, when he was calling me to, you know, to help the small businesses, that was a divine intervention. Once again, it was leaving what was familiar, because, you know, I had this down. I was, you know, I didn't go to my office. I had, you know, everybody was running the business and I was making money. Right. But I knew deep down inside of me that God had called me for more. And it was kind of maybe not the same despair that maybe you were thinking, but for me it was, because when you are so hungry to fulfill the call of God on your life, when you know that God has wired something inside your DNA that other people might not understand, and so you are crying out to God in despair, God, what is next? And I actually talk about this in my book of the cave season for me, and how when I did come out of the cave season, you know, we come out of the cave and God gives us our next assignment. And for me, you know, during up until I started coaching, I had hid the secret that I hadn't graduated. That was, you know, that was a huge weight that I carried around for decades. Mm-hmm. No, decades. I left home at 14. I got married. I mean, this is all in my book. You know, I got married young. We've been married. It'll be 36 years in June. So everybody can do the math. You know, I was married young and I didn't graduate. And it was my children and my husband knew. We don't talk about that. I will go to my grave and I will be the only one that will know that I did not graduate. The world cannot know that, because if they knew that, they would look at me differently. And so I overcompensated trying to be successful, right? So we overcompensate, because how would the world really view me if they didn't know I only went 2 weeks to ninth grade. But yet here I had built this business. But beautiful, I mean, God can take, you know, these ashes and just create this beautiful story. And when I was 48, it was, I just couldn't carry the weight anymore. And so I went back to school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went back and I got my GED at 48 years old.
I love that.
I sure did. I went back and I got it. And I, you know, because I don't like to start something and not finish it. And that was the one thing that I hadn't finished. So I did it.
How that like was such a weight over you. And it really didn't matter in the big picture, but it mattered to you.
It mattered to me. And that's what
it's so important.
Well, and that's what I believe a lot of people didn't understand. Well, Mike, I don't understand. You are the very picture of self-made. You're a self-made millionaire. You know, all this stuff. And I don't say that boastfully, by no means.
Yeah.
But that didn't matter. It was something that weighed on me, and the enemy really held that over my head. And it's still at times very numbing to talk about.
Oh, it shouldn't be. It's so interesting. We all have our areas of weakness of, you know, something that could disqualify us to somebody, you know, just
yes.
It is. But yes. I love that you've done so much, and you actually took it from going from that background and saying, hey, I did it and I want to help coach other people to do it too. Cause talk about how you went into coaching and how immediately there was some measure of success where all these people were hooking in and their lives were changing like that. That's good for, because a lot of people who start coaching, it takes years before they have like really a good success story. But God gave you like a, you know, almost like a harvest field of people right away.
He did. And I'm so grateful and thankful. And so I was 44, almost 45. And, you know, the whole plan up until that point when my husband got to retire at 50 is I'm a preacher. So I'm a minister as well. So I travel and I speak at women's conferences. And, you know, I've done that for decades. And the whole plan was I was going to be able to go evangelize with no, you know, no restrictions, not getting back for his work schedule. And it was beautiful. God absolutely said, Micah, I'm calling you to the small business. And so it wasn't something that I woke up and said, oh, I'm going to start helping the small business. No, God actually called me to the small business. And the first launch that I had 32 people. And it took me about 2.5 years. So about 2.5 years, I built it to a six-figure business and traveled all over the map, different businesses and diving in their business, because God had just gifted me to where I could look at a business and I could tell you exactly what was wrong with it, mm-hmm. right? And it was good and it was wonderful and it was a blessing. But then January 23, God said, I want you to pause everything. And I did not know why, but he did. And so I started writing my book in May. And I didn't know I was going to write a book. I knew I always wanted to, but I didn't know if I'd have enough courage to actually tell, you know, about that 14-year-old girl leaving home and why she left home and, you know, all that baggage and all that trauma. And so I wrote the book.
Wow. So, Micah, I'm sure it was cathartic to write the book and get your life story out there. Tell us about what your life looks like now, and, you know, what you see in the future.
Well, I thought for sure that 23, I was going to probably pretty much be finished with coaching for a while. You know, I thought that I was just going to take a hiatus from it. But December 28th, I'm sitting at my desk, and out of nowhere, the voice of the Lord hit the pit of my stomach. And this is what he said. He said, over this next chapter of your life, I want you to help 100 women become first generation millionaires.
Wow.
And I gasped and my heart started beating out of my chest because I know the voice of God and I know that prompting. And I said, Lord, you mean 10. You mean 10, Lord. And he said, no, 100. And I said, well, this is going to be a big chapter. And so January, I launched the First Generation Millionaire 818 Club. And I wanted 10 people in the first quarter. I ended up with 18. Nice. And I launched second quarter on the 18th, and it's full. So awesome. Here we go again.
That's so, I mean, how many women are watching, Bob, who are like, I want to break the cycle in my family, and I have a business inside of me, and I have something. And I love that you're doing it with women, because women is that are the God's hidden force for this next revival. That's the next great thing he does. But it's not the revival that's coming isn't just a church-centric revival where there's protracted meetings. It's a revival where people are positioned in his love in places that really serve society. And I love for you, it was a cleaning business at first. And you're right in people's homes. You're their counselor when you're doing the cleaning business. You can tell them, they'll open up everything to you.
Absolutely.
But it's about a Christian doing God's work, and it's totally different than somebody who's just doing it as a career path. I love what can happen, and I just think it's beautiful. Well, tell us how to get a hold of the book. Tell us about your website. I know people are going to want to get it.
Absolutely. It's Woman, What Have You Done? And you can get it, I believe, anywhere, Amazon, Target, any platform. And you can go to my website, MicahRace.com.
Well, Micah, we've been thrilled to hear your story. We're so glad. And I'm sure that there's women in our audience who want to be part of your 100, training to be millionaires. And we just couldn't thank you enough for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Honestly, thank you.
We're so glad to have you. And I want to encourage you online. Tell us what you were thinking about this conversation. We want to hear from you. Make sure to leave a comment on YouTube or join us in our podcast. Leave us a review. And some of your comments are going to be read in this very show. Next time, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments, where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassel on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.